This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shofetim, chapter 15. Shimshon returns to visit his Pelishti wife, only to find that she's been given by her father to another man. Apparently, her father assumed that Shimshon was no longer interested in being with her. When he sees Shimshon, the father-in-law offers his younger daughter as a substitute, claiming that she would be even better. But Shimshon declines. Instead, he uses this injustice as a pretext for attacking the Pelishtim once again. He catches 300 foxes, ties their tails together with torches. 150 torches, therefore, are inserted between the tails of these foxes, one for each pair of foxes. The foxes are then released into the grain fields and olive groves of the Pelishtim, where they obviously cause a lot of fire damage. When the Pelishtim community finds out why Shimshon committed this treacherous act, that it had to do with the infidelity of his wife and it was abetted by her father, they actually punish the two criminals, if you will. They punish the wife and the father of the wife by burning them. Now, Shimshon could have perceived this as them acting on his behalf. In other words, he could have seen it as them endorsing his grievance, acknowledging his grievance, and trying to take care of it. After all, they were most likely intervening because they thought that by punishing these two perpetrators, Shimshon's anger would be assuaged and he would give up on his revenge. However, he suddenly switches sides and decides that actually he doesn't like the measures that were taken on his behalf. He's angry at the Pelishtim for killing his wife and his father-in-law rather than just chastising or rebuking them. And so he slaughters more Pelishtim in retribution for this act of killing his wife and his former father-in-law. Shimshon goes into hiding for a while and is approached by the people of Yehuda, who ask him to turn himself into the Pelishtim. Apparently, the oppression has been escalating in response to Shimshon's continuous disruptive activities. He agrees, if they promise not to kill him themselves, he agrees to allow his brethren, the Jews, to deliver him to the Pelishtim while he is restrained by ropes. But when he's actually delivered to them and the Pelishtim approach him, he releases himself easily from these restraints as if they were nothing and kills 1,000 Pelishtim armed with little other than the jawbone of a donkey. Using that alone, he kills 1,000 Pelishtim. Now, after this mighty feat, he's very, very thirsty. He cries out to God for a miracle to provide him with some water, some rehydration. Hashem miraculously brings water from a nearby rock that sates his thirst. So we see that Hashem is intervening directly in the vigilante pursuits of Shimshon. Now, this chapter highlights not only the sort of independent nature of Shimshon's activities, but also the fact that he has no following. His behavior is controversial and seen as a nuisance, even by his own fellow Jews who want him to turn himself in because he's causing them so much trouble. And nonetheless, Shimshon ignores this lack of popularity, his low approval rating, and he continues to do what Hashem chose him to do, obstructing and interfering with the dominion of the Pelishtim. And it's interesting to see that not only in the battles themselves, the conflicts themselves, such as killing the 1,000 Pelishtim with the jawbone of the donkey, but even in the aftermath where he needs water, Hashem is certainly with Shimshon in these escapades, supporting and abetting his activities.